Thanks for listening to this podcast from Exchange Church Belfast. We really hope that you find it encouraging and uplifting. And if you like what you're listening to, why don't you visit us online at exchangechurchbelfast.com for more information.
Whenever Jesus announced salvation to his listeners, whenever he came to this world and he said, you know what, now is the day of salvation, he just didn't mean that he was going to deal with your sin. All right? That was not the whole point of Jesus coming. The sin was the thing that was in the way between us and God. It was what had to be dealt with so that we could be brought back into full relationship with God. But whenever he announced that you would be saved, we, in, particularly in Northern Ireland, we have this view that whenever Jesus announced that, what he was talking about was somehow it's just on the inside of you and you hang on them with your fingertips until you get through to heaven. That is not what Jesus talked about. Last week I said this. In Galatians 1:4 we read this, that grace to you and peace from God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins. Why? That he might deliver us from this present evil age according to the will of God, of our God and Father. So this is it. The whole point of Jesus coming was that in this evil age, that word aeon in Greek means this. It means the time that you're living in now, not just the time that is to come. Like many religious people tell you, just hang on in and get through to heaven. What Paul was writing to here to the church in Galatia was this. It's this, in the present age where you live right now, that Jesus, the salvation that Jesus was announcing for you, meant that you were forgiven, you were healed, you were delivered, and you were made whole. The Greek word sozo. And that is why crowds flocked to Jesus. That's why they ran to him, because Jesus was saying this, if you come to me, I'm going to radically transform every single bit of you. I'm going to transform you on the inside, I'm going to transform you on the outside, and in your body, which is particular to this series, where you are sick, I'm going to make you whole. That is the salvation that Jesus announced, and that is the salvation that we believe in this church. That's why Matthew 15:30, and these are verses from last week, reads like this, then great multitudes came to him. Great multitudes. Why? Because there was some ethereal concept about sin that he was going to deal with. No, great multitudes came from him, came to him. Why? Having with them the lame, the blind, the mute, and many others. And they laid them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. So the multitude marveled when they saw the mute speaking, the maimed made whole, the lame walking, the blind seeing, and they glorified the God of Israel. Hebrews 1 puts it this way, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed an heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. The express image in Greek, I told you last week, is character, which means a perfect representation. So whenever you see Jesus, whenever you see him announcing salvation, this is what it means for you today. God just doesn't want to deal with your sin. He wants to bring you today from wherever you're at into a place of wholeness. So if you're sick in your body today, salvation for you means this, that through Jesus Christ and his work, you can be whole. Why? Because Jesus and his work is a perfect representation of the Father, the perfect representation of God. So whenever Jesus did anything, whenever he said anything or spoke anything or acted in any way, he was representing perfectly and exactly what the Father is like for us today, a God full of love, compassion, grace, and a God of wholeness. That is Jesus Christ today. And I said last week, if you know from reading the Word that if that's the way Jesus acted then, that's the way he's acting now towards you. He's not wanting you sick. He's not wanting you in bondage. He's not wanting you in the mud and the crap of life. He wants to lift you up out of it and make you whole. Is that straight enough? That's the salvation. It means to be forgiven, healed, delivered, and made whole. Now, many people today think, you know what? Whenever I look at Jesus, whenever I look at him ministering, whenever I look at him taking these people up and making them whole, oh, I just wish that Jesus was here today. Let me ask you a question. If Jesus was on tonight in the waterfront, would you go? Hands up. Come on. Of course you would. If Jesus was in town, okay, with Blue Tree leading worship, and you get my point. Many people think, like, if I could be like that woman and I could just touch the hem of Jesus, everything would be okay. Let me tell you something. What did Jesus actually think about that? And this is where I'm getting into my talk for today. It's one of the last foundational issues that we need to cover before we actually look at how to receive this healing in very practical ways. In John 16, verses 5 and 7, Jesus said this, I know many of you want me to stay, I know if you think that if I could walk amongst you in my physical sense, it would be okay. But listen to what Jesus said. But now I go away to him, that's the Father who sent me. And none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Then John 14:12 puts it this way. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. Jesus is saying this to you this morning, church. You can see what Jesus did and you can read the stories. But the point is this. Don't sit around and just hope that Jesus or wish that Jesus was back here. Because his promise to you is this. It was better for you that Jesus goes. Why? Because he has left here today the very ability to do and to see way more, even much more than what Jesus did himself. Stop for 1 minute and think about that. Because as you would be lining up tonight for the waterfront, I think Jesus would be saying this. You know what? You can do greater things because you have me on the inside of you. Okay, let's not be looking for Jesus to come back down until he comes for the second time and the final time. Let's not be praying, oh God, please come down and move. He's already come down. His work is perfect and his work is in you, the Holy Spirit. And because of that, you will do greater things. Isn't that an incredible thought? Isn't that incredible? It's so foundational. Actually, I was thinking about this. I was thinking about this because I thought, you know, Lord, I just don't want the ability to walk in wholeness in my own life. I want to see the wholeness that you have in me flow out of me to other people. And Jesus said to me, do you know what? That's the Holy Spirit in you, Andrew. That's my Spirit that I've put in you. You've got to have an understanding and a revelation that all the work is done and it sits in you today if you're a believer. All the healing is done. All the power is there. All the authority is there in the Spirit of Jesus Christ who lives in you. The Word of God will blow your mind if you get into it. The Word of God will revolutionize and radicalize your thinking if you will let it. The Word of God is incredible. And the truth of it is incredible. And when it tells you things like greater things than Jesus you will do, it was the truth. I love that. It's so foundational. Actually, I was thinking about foundations, and I'm going to tell you a story. In my last church, we went through a weekend when I was a bit younger about how to minister healing to people. And what the whole point was that after we had learnt how to minister healing, what they would do is set us at the front of church in pairs, and people would come forward and we would minister healing to them. Now, I was paired off with a guy, I'll not give you his name, but let's call him Noel, okay? So me and Noel, now Noel was a wee bit of a man about town, all right? He was dead cool, he used to walk around, this was in the 90s, with his collar up and his hair flicked back. And Noel thought he was pretty cool, and Noel knew everything. And so I was paired with Noel after this service, okay, to minister to people who were sick. So I'm standing at the front of church, and this woman came up who I knew, and Noel was right, Andrew, don't you worry, I've got it covered. I went, go for it, Noel. So she comes forward, and she says, guys, I know that you know me, but this is slightly embarrassing, but I want you to pray for me, because I've got piles. Which is not funny if you have them, but, you know, so this woman comes forward, and she goes, I've got piles. And Noel went, please don't be embarrassed. She went, well, Noel, she said, please don't be embarrassed. Just tell me, what foot is it on? At this point, I was looking at Noel going, I was going, Noel, and he's going, Andrew, don't interrupt. There's nothing to be embarrassed about. He said, Lorraine, let's call her Lorraine. Lorraine, just show me what foot are these piles on? At this point, I did what you can only do, which I adopted the holiest position like this. And I prayed a simple prayer. Oh, Jesus, take me now. Jesus, take me now. In fact, heal her backside, but please take me right now. That would be fantastic. In Jesus' name, I loosed the second coming. I opened up the ground in front of me and said, God, take me right now. And so Lorraine looks at Noel and goes, Noel, they're not on my feet. And he was going, really? And I was saying, oh, wisdom and revelation on him, Lord, because this is going bad. At that point, actually, I did have one of those sort of Holy Spirit moments, pure put on. It wasn't God at all. I just went, oh, and fell over. I thought, you get out of that, Noel. It's definitely nothing to do with me. For those of you who are sitting going, what's the problem? You don't get pads on your feet. That's all I'm going to say. So here's the point. Foundations are really important. If you don't know what the foundations are, whenever you come across something, you're going to get into trouble. Isn't that right? And I want to tell you here, today that we have talked about in the last few weeks what God is like. He never changes. In his nature, he has revealed himself to be your healer, and he will never change that. He will always act perfectly, consistently in line with who he is. So the issue is not, does God heal? The issue is, are we able to receive it? And I want to talk about some things that are very basic today, because the whole point is this. Before we embark upon how to receive from God, we're building foundations. The really important thing that needs to be said is this. You are able to receive from Jesus Christ every bit of wholeness. You today, you might exclude yourself and say, well, it's not, I don't think I can receive. I've tried to receive in the past. It just didn't work. I want to tell you this, that without Jesus, you're completely and utterly snookered. But with Jesus, everything is possible. And when in the area of healing, I have found in my life, this sounds so very, very basic, but it is so fundamental. And it was only an understanding of this that released healing in my life and released healing for Penny too. And the thing is this, before you come to Jesus, who you are was not right. Sickness, I have said, is a result of the curse and it had to be dealt with. Now, we think that sin is what we do, sin in terms of action, but sin in the Bible, particularly through the book of Romans, is described as who you are. The Greek word is hamartia. It means your nature. And it meant that before you did anything, you were in trouble. Why? All the sinful acts that you see in your life are only as a result of the sinful nature that was within you. And for as long as you remained in that condition, you were not able to receive today wholeness from God. Why? Because you were under curse. That's the truth of it. When you're in that condition, when you're in that condition of not being right with God, you don't have the ability to overcome sickness and to walk in wholeness. Why? Because when you're under curse, sickness had a right to you. Now, to experience freedom from sickness, you had to be released from the curse that you were under. And that's what Jesus has done for you. Many people come to God and they go, I don't know whether I can do this. I don't know whether I can receive this. And the first fundamental point is this. You are able to receive. Why? Because Jesus has come and made you new. You are no longer under curse. Sickness has no right to you. It has no place to you. Why? Because you have been redeemed from that condition that held you bondage there. It's really important to understand that, because many people come to God and with one eye open and they're kind of going, oh God, please will you heal me? Please will you move? But there's something on the inside of them that doesn't feel worthy enough to receive the goodness and the grace of God in their life. I want to tell you that you are able to receive today. There is nothing, if you've come to Christ, that is holding you back from Jesus and his wholeness. Hebrews 2:14 actually puts it this way. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, this is Jesus, so that by his death, what? He might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil. So the power of death, the power of sickness, the power of anxiety and depression, the power of curse has been destroyed by Jesus Christ, and that same Jesus lives in you. You are able to receive today. This week, you're able to receive from God. Colossians 2 puts it this way. When you were dead in your sin and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, what did God do? He made you alive with Christ. He forgave all your sin and he cancelled the written code with its regulation that was against you and stood opposed to you. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. I want to tell you this. This seems like such a basic thing to say, but so many people don't understand it in here. It's okay to think about God and to dwell upon God and his unchanging nature. It's okay to think that God, you're my healer. It's okay to think and dwell upon those things and let your heart and your mind be changed. But don't for one minute ever forget that that work was for you today to make you and turn you into the position where you can receive all of that goodness. Because religious thinking tells you this, that if there's something in you, if you're not just quite right, if you're just maybe living this particular way, then somehow God stands afar off. He doesn't. He's taken sickness, he's taken death, and he has nailed it and destroyed it and overcome it so that you can receive today. Isn't that incredible? The very same spirit that destroyed death, destroyed sickness, conquered it, is the spirit that lives in you today. It's a spirit of wholeness that gives life and health to your body. Really? Well, in Romans 8, verse 11, it says this, but if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, that's the Holy Spirit, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. The Greek word there is zoupeo. And it means this, that the Holy Spirit in you will cause what is dead to have life. Literally, the Holy Spirit in you will give life to your body. That's what it means. Zoupeo, to cause that which is dead and to empower it with divine life. That's an incredible word this morning. I want to encourage you this morning this, that if you are in an area where you have need in your body, understand first and foremost that the work of Christ in you has made you absolutely right to receive. God is not angry, disappointed, upset, or in any way holding back because of what you do. Because he doesn't look at what you do, he looks at what you are first and foremost. And he's taken that condition of curse and he has destroyed it and nailed it and set you into a place to receive. Isn't that an incredible word? Isn't that an incredible thing about Jesus? What it's saying is this, Jesus took who you were in your very essence, in your very nature, and in exchange, he took what was horrible and filthy and disgusting and dirty and never going to be right, and he exchanged that with his condition, which was completely righteous, completely acceptable, completely pleasing to God, completely able to receive all the goodness and the grace and the love of Jesus. That's the great exchange that has happened. And if we approach God on any other basis, it leads to diffs. And I'm going to tell us why. Let me just, if you think, well, actually, Andrew, is that true? Let me just give you some verses that point that out. 2 Corinthians 5:21 puts it this way. For he made him who knew no sin, that's Jesus, to become sin for us, what? So that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Ephesians 4:24 puts it this way. You put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and true holiness. And 1 John 4:17, if you still don't believe me, puts it this way. Because as is he, that's Jesus, so are we in this world. So right now, because of Jesus, your position, your condition is exactly the same as him. You're free to receive all the goodness, the blessing, the wholeness, and the mercy from God. And whenever you're sick, this is the really important thing, you can be totally confident whenever you feel sickness in your body to go, do you know what? This is not for me. Why? This is not who I've been made to be by Jesus. This is not my position. This is not my condition. So whenever sickness comes, you can say, do you know what? This is not from God and I'm not accepting it. It's the first point where you start to fight. Whenever you realize that you have been made different, that your mindset change needs to happen, a perspective change, that sickness has no claim to you. And importantly, not just that it doesn't have any claim to you, but the power to overcome that sickness sits inside you right now. It's the Holy Spirit living in you. You know, you're walking around with more power in you today than the same power that created this world, the same power that holds this world and sustains this world, the same power that will bring every believer back to Christ to live with him forever. It's sitting in you right now. So whenever sickness comes, it has no chance. As soon as you're switched on to what God has done in you, sickness has no right. Conditionally, you are absolutely free to receive all the goodness, all the mercy, all the healing that you need today. Because that's what Jesus has done for you. Isn't that great? How do you actually see that work? How do you actually see it work? Well, I'm going to start and look at next week about how we receive the wholeness of God and how to receive healing. But it's really important to understand that whenever you're going to worship today, whenever you're going to lift your hands to Jesus, that you come to him on the basis that, you know what? I am free before you. There is nothing in me. We're so tuned in to where we've got it wrong. We're so tuned in to how we just mess up from time to time, aren't we? We're so tuned in to how, you know, we miss the mark sometimes, or how in our minds and in our actions we just don't make it. And that's why I'm taking some time to go, do you know what? Before God, you're free. You're righteous. You're holy. Because if you approach God, particularly in the area of healing, it's going to get messy. Why? Because people who don't understand that they're free before God, when it comes to healing, start to think that it's about their performance. And it's a kind of a particular thing, actually, with healing. See, for me this morning, it's about not your performance, but about your position. It works in any area of life. If you want to receive from God, if it's always on the basis of what you're doing for God, you are knackered. It's not going to work. You don't receive from God based on what you do. You receive from God based on who you are and who he is. Now, when in healing, that is particularly important. It's the incredible nature of the new covenant relationship that we have with Jesus. It's our position that makes us able to receive healing. It's our position in Christ. It's the position that we stand in today with God that makes us able to receive goodness. It's so very, very easy to get into a works-based mentality where somehow we slip back into the mindset that says, God, I need to approach you, and what I'm doing is going to have a bearing on how you behave towards me. Now, there are actions associated with healing, all right? There are things that we do, and I myself have known that there have been many times in my life, though, that I was doing stuff, I was standing on the word, I was confessing the word, but it was not from a place of conviction. It was from a place of fear. And many faith people have told, you know, what you have to do is just take the word, stand on it, keep speaking it out, and I absolutely believe that. But the issue that I had in my life was that my faith was saying something that wasn't so, in the hope that it would become so. Do you understand? In my mind, I was thinking, God, if I say this enough times, I might even start to believe it myself. I was saying with my mouth, God, I believe this. And to an extent, I did. But there was also so many times, and for the most time, there was a curious mix of me confessing wrapped up with my own fear. And I thought, if I don't confess this right, if I don't stand on this right, if I don't do the right things, then somehow this healing malarkey is just not going to work. Isn't that right? Because I'm just obviously not confessed right. And what happens is this. I was so afraid about getting it right that somehow God would stand afar off and tut at me that I just would not be able to receive wholeness. I got so wrapped up in myself. I forgot about my position and I was more concerned with my performance. The words of Jesus in Mark 5 really impacted me. As soon as Jesus heard that the word was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not be afraid, only believe." Phobeo in Greek. Don't be afraid, the word where we get our phobia from. Do not be afraid, only believe. That's what Jesus says to you this morning. So many people with healing are afraid that they are missing it based on what they are doing. And you know what Jesus says to you this morning? Don't be afraid. Isn't it funny the order of that? He didn't say believe right. And then what he said, first and foremost, don't be afraid. In any area of your life today where you're needing to see a breakthrough from God, where you're needing to see God move, where you're needing to see something change, do you know what Jesus says to you first and foremost? Don't be afraid. Before you get to standing on the word and confessing the word, don't be afraid. Before you start to say, well, God, I'm saying this and I'm doing that, he says, don't be afraid. Why? Why does he say that? In 1 John 4, verse 18, it makes it very clear for me. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear. You see, in my life, what I started to understand was that most of my attention in most areas concerning God was all wrapped up in me. Most of my attention was focused on me and what I was doing, how I was doing it, how well I was doing it, how often I was doing it, or what I was missing doing. And this is the incredible thing about God's grace and God's love. The more you understand that at a heart level, the more you understand that, number one, you're able to receive because of your position, and number two, it helps you to understand that God wants you to receive. That's why we preach in this church about the love and the grace of God, because the more you get captured with God's love, God's commitment, the work of Jesus in your life, what it does is it lifts your eyes up off you and what you're doing, and it puts them back onto Jesus so that you are more captivated with his love and his work rather than what you are doing. You see, what you do will only ever be an overflow of what you're convicted of in your heart. As Christians, we are so good at pretending. I used to be standing in church and fool the best of them. Oh yes, it's fine. I'm standing on the word. I'm confessing this and confessing the other. And do you know what? I'm going to be honest with you. Sometimes I was absolutely petrified. But it just felt like, you know what, God, I can't say this because somehow that's going to negate you wanting to move in my life. And God said, I know your heart anyway, Andrew. I know what's going on in there. Don't hide it from me. And in fact, he said, don't be afraid. Just get captivated with my love. Understand that it's not how you're performing. It's where I've placed you. It's not what you're doing. It's what I've created you to be. You're able to receive. And more importantly, I want you to receive. Your performance will never release anything from God. He's motivated first and foremost by his love for you. He loved you first, and that's why he wants you whole. We've got to get out of the mindset of that our performance matters. Everything that you will do to stand and confess, I understood in my life, was as a result of the revelation of the love of God in my life. It stopped being from the teeth out and started to be an overflow of my heart. And I want to encourage you, whenever you understand your position, whenever you understand your righteousness, whenever you understand your wholeness and what God has made you to be, it will free you to receive and free you from the fear of having to perform for anyone, let alone God. Now, we have to be grown up about this, and we have to be adult and say, do you know what? Maybe sometimes that's what I do, but I want to nail it before we start to move in, because into the next weeks. You know why? Because if we don't understand first and foremost how much God loves us, we'll always approach on the basis of what we're doing. Okay? And what people look for is they look for a formula. They look for the 10 steps to wholeness. They look for the books and the tapes and all the rest of the stuff, which will go, just help me to do these 10 steps and I will see it. You know how you see it? It's when the Lord gives you a revelation in your heart of his love for you. That's the platform. That's the platform that we move into the rest of this series on. I love some of these verses in Ephesians 3. I love them. I love them. They're the verses for our church. And it's Paul's prayer, and he says this, I pray that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, one of those ways around, to know the love of God, that's to experience the love of God, which passes just something you can understand in your head, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, what? According to the power that resides and works in you. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that incredible? You see, whenever you get captivated with God's love, whenever you get captivated with his grace towards you that sets you free from anything to do with your own performance, all of a sudden your heart changes in a way that the 10 steps to freedom will never help you to do. All that stuff without a revelation of love and grace from God will only ever bind you in further law, because it's all about what you are doing. Get a revelation of Jesus Christ and his work. Go to the Word. Let the Holy Spirit show you incredible, unbridled, unmeasurable love poured out for you through Jesus. As you dwell on that and as you think on that, do you know what? Your confession will be as a result of your heart. Not just, oh God, if I keep confessing this, then you're bound to move. It'll be, God, I'm speaking this out because I know it in my heart that you are for me and that you love me. That's our foundation. David Goodwin, let me, this week in his blog, and I want to recommend, I'm going to give you where you can get David's blogs, because he writes incredibly beautifully and incredible truths about God. And he's here this morning, and he said it this week in his blog when he was thinking about the healing thing. He said, what's the best way to stop myself being cynical and all that kind of stuff? And he put it this way. He said, I keep on meditating day and night on the inexhaustible love that God has for me, love that knows no bounds, mercy that covers up all my human weakness, and grace that lifts me to the highest heights. It's all there in his word for me. I want to tell you this. If you need to receive healing in your body, we can short-circuit the process of you getting into some kind of yin and yang and climbing the hill of the Lord stuff. Do you know how it happens? Get a revelation of God's love. Just start to dwell and to think and to speak and to sing, to read about how much he loves you, and it will free you from yourself. And when you're free from yourself, you're much better positioned to receive. Because it's not about you, it's about him. And this is the critical thing for me, and this is my last point. Whenever you're freed from yourself, whenever you're freed from your performance into your position, remember that? You're freed from performance into position. Whenever that happens, the Bible says that you enter into this place called rest. I think this is one of the critical things for healing. The work of healing has been done. Let me say that clearly. The work of healing has been done. God is not doing any more healing. Do you understand me? Because when Jesus went to the cross and he nailed and destroyed the power of sickness and this power of death, he healed everybody that was going to be healed. And he said the power to overcome from that point on is in the Holy Spirit of God. So it's an interesting model, isn't it? Sometimes when people go, they stand in churches and they go, oh God, please will you heal? Please will you move? Please will you touch? I want to say in this church, I believe that he's already done it. The power is available. He's not coming back down again. Hebrews tells us there's not going to be another sacrifice. He's not going to be crucified again. Why? Because all the power that we need as believers today has been invested in us through the Holy Spirit, and he lives in us. It's now not to ask God to move, but it's our job in our position to receive and to inherit Spirit, the grace and the goodness and the wholeness of God. This is what Paul wrote at the very start of Ephesians. He said that, my prayer is this, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints, what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead, seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities, all powers, all might, all dominion, every name that is named, not only in this age, but is also in the age to come. He put all things under his feet, and he gave him, that is Christ, to be the head over the church. If you're in the church this morning, Christ is your head and sickness is under your feet. That's what it means. It means that there's no more power to come down from heaven. It's already come down in Jesus Christ, sat at the right hand of the Father today, invested in you through the Holy Spirit, and he says, receive it, and then work in it, and operate in it, and let it flow from you. You don't need to ask God to move again. You don't need to ask God to go, oh, please, will you move? He's already moved and he's put all things under your feet. Isn't that incredible? See, when I approach healing in that aspect, I don't go, God, please, will you? I go, thank you, God, that it's in me, that your spirit is in me. And whenever I speak against any power of darkness or sickness, I know that because of my position, it has to flee. Why? Because my Jesus destroyed it. Oh, getting excited. Okay. Whenever you understand that, it brings you from a place of work to rest. Hebrews 11:4 says this, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Therefore, let us what? Be diligent to seek God and to rend the heavens and all that kind of stuff. No, be diligent to enter into rest. Isn't that cool? Be diligent not to fight, but to rest and to receive because of your position. That's what it means. To rest means this, to seek work or to cease to work or movement in order to relax, refresh oneself, or recover strength. Rest means many things, but I want to tell you this, that as we move into these next few weeks, I don't want us approaching this area as I have to do, because God says, just rest a wee bit, will you? Chill out. I've already done it. You need to receive it. You don't need to ask me to send the power. I've sent the power. It's the Holy Spirit in you. Now, be diligent, what? In just resting in what I have done, not what you think you can do. That's the key for the Christian walk, actually, not just in this area. People, you find people who, where it's all wrapped up in them, when it's all wrapped up in what they think they can do or what they're doing or the condition of this and the condition of that and what they're doing, those people tend to go round in circles, never really entering into freedom. But when you're in rest, it means this. It means to cease from action. The word rest means to cease from labor or exertion. When you apply that to God's rest, it means that there's no more self-effort, no more trying to please God by what you do, because rest involves stopping any legalistic activity and just resting in grace. Resting every day and receiving. It also means to be free from worry. Some people are never at peace because they're always bothered about something. You ever met, people like that? But whenever you rest, it means to be free from whatever disturbs you. I know sickness really disturbs people. It causes people to worry. So rest in this sense means that you can be quiet and peaceful, free from guilt and free to enter rest and be at peace with God and free from worry. It also means to be settled. Not blown about from philosophy to philosophy. Whenever you have a conviction in your heart of who you have been created to be, what your position is, it settles you. You know, Penny and I were talking about this last night, and with this I finish, about how for many years we didn't really understand being in a church, but always looking elsewhere to be fed. And we didn't understand that. We used to look for lots of different things. And we used to buy books and buy tapes. We considered going to this college and that college and all the rest of it. And what we didn't really understand at a level going on the inside of us was, you know what, we're not settled here. We're not settled. We're not at peace. We're not understanding, you know what, that we're established in Christ and in his love for us. And once we started to get that revelation ourselves, you know what, we didn't run from pillar to post. We weren't blown about by every kind of idea or doctrine or whatever, but we got rooted and grounded in the love of God for us, and it settled us. And all of a sudden, we started to be at rest and started to go, do you know what, God, we can receive from you. My life is about receiving, not running from pillar to post. Whenever you're at rest, point four, you're secure. When you enter God's rest, you come into a place of security, having absolute trust and confidence, the word faith in Greek, pistis, in God's care for you. Whenever you're at rest, you're secure. The converse of that is true also. If you're running about like a mad thing, going, God, please, will you, very often those are insecure people, insecure in God's love. And God says, you know what? Get a revelation of my love. It'll make you rest and be secure. So with that, I finish. I'm going to talk more about rest in months to come. But I want to tell you this as we finish today, that to receive healing and to receive the fullness of God, actually to receive anything from God, it's really, really important to understand your position and not your performance. Now, God doesn't beat you up over it. God doesn't get angry and upset. But what he simply says to you today is this. If you're approaching me on the basis of what you're doing, just stop a wee while and start to rest in my finished work. Start to rest in the position that I've created you to be in. And I promise you this, you will see God move in your life in a way which you have never seen it before. That's what happened for me. Whenever I started to understand it was him and his work and not me and my work, my goodness, everything changed. Remember what Christ has done for you. And that will set you up to receive healing, wholeness, faith, love, grace, the whole nine yards, whenever it's about your position and not your performance. Why don't we stand? What we're going to do, this is how we respond. This is how we respond at Exchange. During this song, we're going to take our offering. So if you're ready for that, that would be fantastic. But what we're going to do is we're going to worship the Lord together for 10, 15 minutes. And what I would ask you to do is this. It's to lift your eyes up to Jesus Christ today. If you have had a way of dealing with God which was based on what you're doing, I want to tell you, God wants you free from that. Because it leads to frustration and annoyance and lack of breakthrough and a lack of peace and all sorts of stuff. And we're going to sing songs about how incredible Jesus is. So I want to ask you to encourage you to engage with Jesus Christ. Lift your eyes up off you, off your circumstances, off life, and say, Jesus, do you know what? Thank you for who you are, and I want to sing and receive the about all the goodness that you have for me. And just thank you, God, for the position that you find yourself in today, wholly free and able to receive every good and perfect gift from God. I promise you, if you do that, and this is good training, because you know what? We could have you all up here praying for you, but on Wednesday morning when nobody else is around, this is the kind of thing that I do, where life starts to come in and I start to think, oh God, I need to. And God says, you know what? Rest in what I've done. Lift your eyes up. Look at me. Worship me. Give thanks for Jesus and receive goodness and mercy today. Greater things have yet to come.